You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk about how to help young men mature in their faith. That's right. This podcast is designed to help Gen Z men. We want you to grow up and to learn how to walk with Christ. And so today, what I'm going to be talking to you about is a two-part series about shepherding the flock of God, because the truth is you need to be shepherded. Let me ask you a question today, and it could be thought of as sort of a trivia question. And the question is, out of all the animals that God created, which one are you the most like? You might be tempted to say a monkey, and if so, it shows how indoctrinated in our culture you've been exposed to the thoughts about evolution, okay? Or you might be tempted to say an eagle because of that passage in Isaiah 40, verse 31, that talks about how we're to mount up with wings like eagles. Or you might be tempted to say a mule because Psalm 32 talks about don't be stubborn like a mule. You might even be thinking about a sparrow because if his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he watches me. But the answer, dun-dun-dun-dun, is a sheep. That's right, more than any other animal in the Bible, human beings are compared to sheep. God compares us to sheep because we need his protection. We need to stick together as fellow Christians. And what does Jesus say about sheep? Well, check this verse out from Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so we understand, young man, you are a sheep. I am a sheep. I mean, one commentator writes, sheep spend most of their time eating and drinking, but if they become lost, they are helpless to find adequate food and water. Left to themselves, sheep will indiscriminately eat both healthy and poisonous plants, or overgraze and ruin their own pasture, and they need to be led to water that is not impure and stagnant, and water that is not moving too rapidly. And this is why the psalmist refers to the quiet waters of Psalm 23. Everybody here knows that the Bible refers to people as sheep throughout the scriptures. There's Psalm 78, verse 52. Then he led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Or how about Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So, young man, you are like a sheep. Now, I hope you don't smell like a sheep, right? But we are compared to sheep more than any other animal in the Bible. Now, sheep need a shepherd to guide them and to protect them and to lead them to food and to water and sometimes to rescue them from harm. A church without a shepherd is like a team without a coach, or like a student without a teacher, or like a country without a president. And so we see this comparison all through Scripture that we need shepherds. I mean, just as God called citizens to submit to the government in Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2, and just as God called servants to submit to their masters in Ephesians 6, Colossians 3, 1 Peter 2, just as God called wives to submit to their husbands, Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, 1 Peter 3, and children to submit to their parents, Ephesians 6, Colossians 3, so has he called the church to submit to their elders who are their shepherds. And we're going to see that today from the passage I want us to look at, which is in 1 Peter chapter 5. And so today I want to help us learn how to better understand the role of a shepherd so that we can submit to our shepherds as unto the Lord. Young man, you are not alone. Young man, you are to be under authority. And I hope that you will realize that you are to be under your shepherd's authority, the elders of your local church. And so what I'm going to do in the part one, part two of this particular series is I want to give you four exhortations for elders and really every Christian so that we might receive a crown of glory when the chief shepherd appears. So here we go. Exhortation number one, elders are exhorted to shepherd the flock and to exercise oversight. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight." So we're learning from verse 1 in the first part of verse 2 of 1 Peter 5 that elders are exhorted to shepherd the flock and exercise oversight. Peter had just concluded the thought at the end of chapter 4 that as Christians, we should entrust ourselves and our souls to our faithful Creator in doing what is right. And really, the whole context of 1 Peter is about trusting God in the midst of difficulty, broadcasting the glory of God while going through trials, and even about submitting to authorities, even if those authorities aren't perfect, in a way that would help demonstrate true Christian maturity. And so in this process, the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, has entrusted elders with the responsibility of shepherding the flock. And if you're part of the flock, then that means you need to let the elders do this just in the way that the Bible has designed it. I mean, when we look at this passage, there are three different Greek words used that all describe the office of a pastor, an elder, or an overseer. And these three words are actually all describing one and the same office. Let's look at each one of these words together. Peter says, again, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder." So the first word that describes the office of elder is the word elder, or the word presbyteros. And this is the word that's used here. It's where we get our English word Presbyterian from. It can mean to be relatively advanced in age. But when describing the church office of elder, this word has more of a focus on spiritual maturity and on the competency that a man would have to lead God's people. And so the first place that we see the word elder used in the New Testament is in the book of Acts. I mean, there was such a famine in the land so that the church of Antioch decided to give some relief to the church of Judea. I mean, literally, there's a famine, people don't have food. This new church plant of Antioch in Acts chapter 11, verse 29, it says, "So the disciples determine every one according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And so they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul." The first place that the word elder is used in the Bible, Acts 11, verse 30. And it's in the context, these elders are sending funds, sending relief, resources in order to help the brothers living in Judea. And notice that they sent it to the elders. So it shows here there's a certain level of maturity. There's a certain level of trust. The next place we see the word elder used is in Acts 14, 23. Paul's out on his first missionary journey with Barnabas. So it's Saul and Barnabas out there doing their thing. "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." So again, they're starting churches. And when you start a church, you need to appoint elders. Please note, it doesn't say they voted on elders, but rather these apostles appointed elders. And we see a similar theme really in the book of Titus. The apostle Paul is appointing Titus as an elder. It says in Titus 1:5, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." So again, in the Bible, what we see is apostles appointing elders, and now elders are appointing new elders, and we understand that this is an important description of the office of the pastor elder. So the one word that we're looking at is the word elder. A second word. Let's look at a second word used in this passage, because verse 2 says that Peter ought to be exercising oversight. So the second word for the elder is the word overseer. Overseer. This word is also found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task." And so here we see that the word overseer, it's the word episcopi, which is where we get our English word episcopal from, in which it also could be translated as bishop. This word overseer describes one who is watching over with special care and great responsibility. So again, elder, there's spiritual maturity. Overseer, it's someone who has a responsibility to oversee, to administrate, to govern. So they are placed in charge to make these kinds of decisions. And then you have the word shepherd. He says that you're to shepherd the flock of God among you. That's the word poimen. It's the word that means to watch out for other people. It's the act of shepherding by protecting or ruling and also governing. And so we think of shepherds as they are leading the sheep. They're feeding the sheep, right? They're protecting the sheep and they're caring for the sheep. This word shepherd is also found in Acts 20, verse 28, where Paul says to the Ephesian elders, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care or to shepherd the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So what I'm just wanting you to see, young man, is that the church is to be led by elders. And there's three words, the word elder, which is the word presbyteros, and then there's the word overseer, which is the word episcopi, and then there's the word shepherd, which is the word poimen. And all three words are pointing to an elder, your pastor, someone you need to be submitting to. Now, don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to continue to look at what it means to submit to your elders.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Adam Tyson in just a moment. And I know the world thinks that he's jumping into the deep end. You listen to that, you play it for your friends who are not Christians or whatever, and they're going to think, what is this guy talking about? The idea that biblical masculinity involves accountability and humility sounds countercultural, but it's deeply biblical. Adam pointed out being a man isn't isolating yourself or being the toughest guy in the room. It's about knowing when and how to submit, especially to godly leadership. That is masculinity. That is being a man. And young man, that is what you need to hear. And something else you need is a fantastic resource that speaks directly to what Dr. Tyson's laying down in front of you today. It's a book by Dr. Jerry Bridges. It's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's called The Practice of Godliness. Look, if you're serious about stepping into your God-given role as a man, this book is gold. Dr. Bridges is going to walk you through practical daily habits that cultivate genuine godliness. It's The Practice of Godliness by Dr. Jerry Bridges, available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Young man, if you're considering your next steps, I can't recommend to you the Master's University highly enough. Ranked number 6 nationwide by the Wall Street Journal for career preparation. You know how much of a big deal that is? The Wall Street Journal, a secular institution, just ranked a biblical institution as one of the top in the nation. That's unique because TMU is unique because they uniquely combine rigorous academics with a steadfast commitment to the authority and sufficiency of Scripture. Whether it's their top-ranked accounting program or their new mechanical engineering lab, TMU equips young believers to excel in their profession while standing firm in their faith. Head over to masters.edu/manhood to learn more and see why TMU might be the perfect next step for you. And speaking of resources that truly equip you every day, have you checked out Fortis Plus, the Fortis Plus app? It's free, not going to cost you anything. Let me say that again. It is free. I love telling people it's free. Just want you to take advantage of what's available to you for free. It's loaded with daily content that will challenge you and that will equip you. We add 7 new pieces of audio and video content every single day. You can go to fortisplus.org to find the app or download it to your mobile device at the place where you usually do all your app downloading. Again, it's free. Fortis Plus. All right, now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood. We've been talking in this session about how elders are to be shepherding the flock of God. And Peter talks a lot about this in 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's really interesting as we think about Peter uses these words, elder, overseer, and shepherd, all to refer to one in the same office, which has been ordained by God to lead and to govern his church. So I think it's important that we realize that, because a pastor is not just a preacher. I mean, when I came to seminary back in early 2000s, I came to learn to preach. I wanted to be the next John MacArthur or John Piper or R.C. Sproul. And I quickly learned I didn't quite have that same level of gift. But one of the things that I learned in seminary was that being a pastor is more than just preaching. You're to be overseeing and you're to be shepherding the flock. And so this is interesting because Peter talks about himself here as an elder. He says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. In fact, Peter refers to himself in three different ways. In 1 Peter 5, he refers to himself here as an elder. So this is someone that kind of moving from the office of apostle to the office of elder. I think it's interesting to note that Peter was an apostle. I mean, he was appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But he's also demonstrating that as the office of apostle is kind of fading towards the end of the New Testament, it's the office of elder that's going to continue to lead God's church. And so here, Peter's trying to connect with the other elders in Rome by referring to himself as a fellow elder. Peter refers to himself as a witness of the sufferings of Christ in 1 Peter. Peter had seen and been with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had seen the sufferings that Jesus went through, and he had faced persecution himself. And then we also see that Peter was a partaker of the glory that's to be revealed. But one of the ways that Peter likes to identify himself is a fellow elder. It's such a precious office. And so as a fellow elder, Peter exhorts the elders that he's writing to in Rome to do two things. The first thing is to shepherd the flock of God. Now, I think we've already seen that the church or the sheep of God need a shepherd. And really, the chief shepherd that he's operating under, right? And so we have to understand here, the chief shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ has appointed under-shepherds that would be carrying out in a similar role to pastor, to elder, to shepherd the flock. I mean, really, to shepherd means to lead. It means to protect. It means to feed. It means to care for the sheep. And this is all understood here as Peter's challenging the elders to shepherd the flock. Now, if Peter is challenging the elders to shepherd the flock, I think that it's only right that we understand that we are a flock that needs to be shepherded. So, young man, you are not on your own. Young man, you can't just go do life and live life autonomously. You are to be shepherded by your elders. And that kind of goes together with what he's saying here. You're to shepherd the flock of God. That's a verb. And that you are to exercise oversight. Those are the main two things that this passage is talking about. You need to shepherd and you need to exercise oversight. In other words, the elders are placed in charge. The elders have been given that authority. I mean, some people today say, well, who gave the right to the pastors and elders to get to lead the church? I mean, shouldn't every Christian have a right to say what they think and to do what they want? And the answer is no. Every Christian doesn't have a right to do whatever they want. They don't have a right to say it's just a democracy and everybody in the church carries equal weight. That is not the design of church leadership structure here in the Bible, and we're reading about it here in 1 Peter chapter 5. I mean, God is the one who has the right to set up authority as he sees fit, and so it just so happens that God instructed us through his word that we're to be governed by God-fearing, Christ-exalting, and Spirit-controlled elders. I mean, we even hear Jesus talking about this concept of elders are to be in charge in Matthew 16 and in Matthew 18. I mean, listen to this familiar passage from Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. It says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So again, this is that time where Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter is commended for that. Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Peter, because this has been revealed to you by my Father in heaven." And then he says, "You are Peter, and on this rock," not Peter himself, but on his confession that Jesus is the Christ, it's on that confession that Jesus is saying, "Hey, I'm going to build my church on that, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then Jesus says, "I will give you," and he's talking, remember, to his disciples, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." So the keys of the kingdom of heaven are a reference to authority. He's not telling everybody they've got the keys to the kingdom, but the apostles. And remember, the apostles are going to be soon appointing elders. He says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, that means that whatever you bind on earth, meaning whatever you forbid on earth, has already been forbidden in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, or you could say whatever you permit on earth, has already been permitted in heaven. In other words, heaven agrees with the God-ordained leadership of the church. And the God-ordained leadership of the church started with Christ, was then given to the apostles, and the apostles are then instructed to share this same authority with the elders. And that means, young man, elders at your local church are responsible to lead. And when they're leading, that means whatever they allow on earth should be already allowed in heaven. So whatever freedoms they allow to be practiced by a Christian, they're only doing that so much as what the Bible gives Christians freedom to do. And whatever they forbid, whatever an elder forbids on earth, so if they forbid, you know, sin of any kind, sexual sin, they forbid drunkenness, they forbid lying, cheating, stealing, that's already been forbidden in heaven. So, and somebody has to stand up and say to the church, this is allowed or this isn't allowed. I mean, really, somebody's got to even stand up and say, you're allowed to become a member based on your profession and faith and your consistent Christ-honoring livelihood, or you're not allowed. And the way that you know you're allowed or not allowed is not, again, by common concession by the congregation, but it's by the elder team. Again, Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, Jesus is teaching this. And then in another passage similar to this one, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus teaches something really similar. He says, in the context of church discipline, you know, if your brother's in sin, go and show him his fault. If he doesn't listen, take two or three with you. And if he still doesn't listen to them, Jesus says, tell it to the church, Matthew 18, 17. And if he refuses to listen to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And then he says, that's step 3 and 4, by the way, of church discipline. And then he says this in verse 18, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Sound familiar? Same terminology from Matthew chapter 16. And again, it's saying that the elders have the authority in the local church to bind and to loose. That means to either allow or to forbid. And guess what? Heaven agrees with the elder team. I mean, our church was involved in a church discipline situation years ago. We were disciplining a husband for committing unrepented adultery. And he said, who gave you the right to kick me out of the church? And my answer to this man was simply, God did. And he says, well, I believe in God. And so therefore you can't kick me out because I'm a Christian too. And I say, well, you may think you're a Christian, but I've been given authority by the word of God to determine who's in and who's out, to determine who is walking in obedience to God and who's not walking in obedience to God. And so what I'm saying to you, young man, today is that you need to understand the role of shepherds in your life. We understand that God has given the governing authority over his people to pastors and elders. And this is a common concept in the Bible. And it's a common concept that just as there are masters over servants, husbands are over their wives, parents are over their children, in that similar way, Christ has been appointed to be over the church. Obviously, he's the head of the church and we're his body. But then Christ appointed apostles to start the church. And then those apostles, in return, appointed elders, as we read about Paul doing that on his missionary journey, Peter doing that here in 1 Peter. We talked about Paul doing it as well in Titus. And so we see here that the shepherds, the elders, the overseers, have an awesome responsibility. And their responsibility is to carry out their objective to shepherd properly. And your responsibility, young man, is to submit to that. Your responsibility is to submit to your elders and to your pastors. This is exactly what the Bible says. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says this. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So, young man, are you willing to submit to your pastors, to your elders in a way that would glorify God? Let me pray for you that God would help you do just that. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And I pray that pastors and elders would take seriously their responsibility to shepherd the flock. And I pray that young men would take seriously their responsibility to submit to their elders as unto the Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.